welcome.
Thank you very much. Amen. For an amazing welcome. It's good to be here. Amen. Father, we just thank you that you are here today. Thank you that you are here to just touch us and lift us and love us. Oh, I thank you for the privilege of knowing you, Father. Thank you for the way you have changed my life and filled it with so many great, amazing things. And Father, we just give you, want to give you freedom to do whatever you want here today, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. I must say that for the last 4 years, or after I first met John and Carol and all the other wonderful people here, my life has really, God has really done a lot of new things in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you for letting me be a part of this amazing family and fellowship. Thank you. Amen. yesterday I was in Singing Waters, and that was a great place to be. And I was there, and I felt that I was like playing with my daddy. Amen. And that is something I really love. I've seen a lot of miracles, a lot of healings, as Steve said here. And people have said, well, you have this healing ministry, and I don't really know, you know. I just want to hear from heaven, and I want to do what God's telling me to do. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's the ministry of Jesus that is continuing through us. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's not so important what kind of ministry you or I have, but we want to see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God as the rule of God, the rule of love. Hallelujah. You know, some time ago, I will start with telling one nice story. Some years ago, I was in Mali in West Africa, and a friend of mine, one of our co-workers there, he said, could we go and visit my home village tomorrow? And I said, yeah, that would be nice. And so we were going up there. It's where the Niger River take like a bend into the Sahara Desert. So it was a desert village, but we took a boat up towards the village there. And while we were sitting in the boat there, in the canoe, this brother, he was saying, well, actually, I have not been to my village since I gave my life to Christ. And I said, well, but it's not that far. It's just like a couple of hours trip with a canoe. Well, you see that I didn't want to go there without you because they said that if I return as a Christian, they will kill me. I feel so happy now. I said, you know, I didn't really know what to say. And we came up at the beach in this village, and the people gathered immediately, and they were starting talking to us, and they knew this brother that was originally from this village, and they were so happy until some of the elders of town came, and they said, hey, don't you remember what we have told you? Have we told you that we do not want any Christians in this village? We do not want to defile the ground here. Oops. And then one of the others said, well, don't you remember? Hey, don't you remember, be a little bit kind now, don't you remember 2 years ago or 3 years ago, there was a Christian here? And he said, well, yeah, we remember, but remember also that we chased him from town after 2 minutes. Well, yeah, that's true. And then my friend, he stood up and he said, actually, we are not here just to visit you. We are here to tell you that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen. And the elders, they quickly gathered the town council and they sat down and they were discussing, what will we do with our you know, what you say, backslidden friend and his foreign visitor? Should we allow them to stay here or should we kill them? You know, I was kind of eager to hear the outcome of that discussion. And after a while, they came to us and they said, okay, we will allow you to stay here overnight. And, you know, the new believer there, he said that, you, we know we are here to have a meeting and preach the gospel to you. And they said, no, we cannot allow you to have a meeting here. There is no way you can have a meeting here. But you can stay in the house over there tonight. And then if you have something you want to talk about, anyone that wants can come and listen to what you have to say. But it is not a meeting. So it was a small place. And we went to our little house, and about 150 people gathered there, or 100, to hear what we had to say. It was not a meeting. No. So I shared the gospel with them. I prayed, and people were really, really listening. I think some of them were thinking that this might be the only chance we will hear this man talk. Because he might not talk anymore. So... But and after I've been preaching, I made like an altar call if anyone wanted us to pray for them, you know, and everyone was just looking up to one side. No one dared to give any response. They were looking at the chief sitting on the side there. And there was no reaction from him. It was very like serious face, you know. I said, yeah. And there was no reaction, so I said, okay, that's all what I had to say. And then the chief stood up. Everyone, it was so quiet. And the chief said, this is the best message I have ever heard. Hallelujah! The only thing I don't really understand, if this is really true, why have no one told us before? Well, you could laugh, but it's about 2 million people in that area that have never, ever had a chance to hear the gospel. And then he said, let's all go to bed now. So everyone went to their houses. And next morning, the chief and the leaders of town, this was like a little village, and we went to the town nearby, and they brought me there to the local radio to preach on the radio. They brought me to preach to all the students in the school. They brought me to the mayor's office to talk to all his people there, and finally they brought me to the local hospital for us to preach to the staff in the hospital. Hallelujah! The first time they had a Christian in their town more than 2 minutes. And we came to the hospital. And, well, let's make a long story short, I mean. We went through all the different patients' rooms. And prayed, put our hand on each and every one, and everyone was instantly healed, one by one. Hallelujah. Then We came to the last room, and we prayed for two and three of them, and then the director of the hospital, he said, "Hey, you must pray for me. Stop praying for the others now. You pray for me. I have an ulcer. I've had it for many years, and I have terrible pain in my stomach." And you know, and so we prayed for him, and he was instantly healed. Hallelujah. And then there was one patient left, and I was just about to pray for her, and this midwife came up and said, "You know, I'm a midwife, and I cannot have children. Can you please pray for me?" So I put my hand on her, you know, and prayed that she will have a baby. And there and then the baby came, you know. No, I'm just joking. Sorry. Oh, that would have been good. Oh. No, the baby didn't come. I don't actually know what happened after that with her. But all the staff in the hospital and all the patients were all sick, and all were instantly healed, and they closed up the hospital and left. They just locked up all the doors and left. Hallelujah! Woo! Woo-hoo! And then on the way out, this chief from the village the day before, the one that was deciding if they should kill me or not, he said, "Wow, is this what happens when Christians come to town?" And I said, "Yes, of course, this is, yeah, it's always like this." Well, I didn't answer him. But really, that was what was happening when Jesus came to town. He was saying, "The kingdom of God is here," and then bang, 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 bang. Things started happening. Hallelujah. Amen. And Romans 8:29 says that we are to be transformed into his likeness, so he can become not the only begotten son, that's what he came as, but that he may become the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah! Among many people that are just like him. Hallelujah! So you see, that sometimes it's a bit exciting to serve the Lord and to be his son. Hallelujah. And, well, I have some pictures I would like to show you. Do we have the pictures ready? That's not exactly it. I think I'll better go over here. Just a couple of pictures from, here is here. You know, this is a meeting with Al Qaeda. Well, it's not really. But, you know, all the guys that look like they're from Al Qaeda. And to the right there with this black turban, that is me. And this is a gathering of 20 chiefs of the Fulani tribe. And they all were, I was sharing with them the first time I visited their area. And they're all Muslims, or they were all Muslims. Today, many of them are believers. But after I shared with them, they said, "Please, we have to talk a bit now." And they just like excluded me a bit. I spoke Hausa to them, but their own language is Fulani. But all the leaders also speak Hausa, the language that also Duncan speak, you know. So they, after 5 minutes with discussions, the leader among these chiefs, he stood up and he said, "We have decided that all of us, we want to follow Jesus with all our people on one condition. If you can make sure you send someone to us to preach to us every week." Hallelujah! Amen! They were representatives of thousands of people. And you know what I had to say? it was terrible. I had to say to them, I'm sorry, I cannot promise that we can send someone to you every week. There are too many people that are asking for us to come, and there are too few workers. But I really want to encourage you to follow Jesus, but I cannot promise that. I'm so sorry, I said. You know, I don't want to promise and not keep my promise. And so they gathered again. And they said, they came back and they said, okay, if you can only promise to send someone to us once a month, we will all start to follow Jesus. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not able to say that. I'm not able to. I wish I could do that, but I cannot promise you that, I said. I'm a missionary. That's my heart, is to reach all of these people. That's what I give my life for. And they were so disappointed. And they gathered once more. And they said, they came back and they said, okay, we have agreed that there is no other hope for us. If you can just promise us you will not forget us, we will all start to follow Jesus and try to send someone to us as often as you can. Amen. And I say, that I can promise. Hallelujah. And they all, we prayed the sinner's prayer with all of them at 22 chiefs or something. And all of them confessed they want to follow Jesus. And a lot of the other people around, they brought their families. So we had a lot of healings immediately. Yeah, okay. I was actually just showing you a picture. Well, I'm sorry. Next picture. Actually, next month, we will have a team trip from the School of Ministry in Norway and the School of Revival in Raleigh. And they will visit that place. Amen. Here I'm speaking to the Sultan of Zinder. His official title is King of Kings. That's a quite bold title, isn't it? he's the leader of all the different kings in Niger area. In Niger, yeah. Okay, the next one. Just a quick. This is a fire where we are burning magical, amulet and all other magic remedies. We do that all the time. And it's important for us to do it publicly so everyone see that we break the power of darkness. Amen. Next one. Okay. You recognize the guy lying there? That's Duncan. And in the back is Carlos Rodriguez, his youth pastor. And last year we were down there in Niger and we had a flat tire. We had two cars driving together. We had just been in a great meeting. We had a great meeting with the nomads. And we drove somewhere else to sleep. And we had a flat tire. And while one of our people started to change the tire, we started to pray. And the Holy Spirit came upon us. We laughed and laughed and laughed. And Duncan and Benedicta there, they were lying like in the... You can come up with the next picture also, I think. It's probably the same thing, yeah. They were lying there in the sand in the desert with all the thorns rolling around and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And, we finished the changing of the tire, but we couldn't, they couldn't stop. Well, after a while, Duncan stopped, and Benedicta, we just had to put her lying, laughing, shaking into the back of the car, and we drove off to where we were going, and when we stopped there, she was still laughing. The next morning, we came back to our meeting, and she was from a school of ministry in Norway, or a Bible school that I was teaching in before. And the first person she met when she came into a meeting was a blind woman. And she greeted her, and the blind woman was healed. Hallelujah! She was just filled with the power of God after being rolling around in the thorns in the desert. Okay, the next picture. Yeah, that's some of the our people ready for a party. And a Norwegian visitor with them, kind of scared. You know, these are the men. They are putting up, when they have a big celebration, putting up a lot of makeup, and, you know, it looks like, what do you call it, drag queens? But they are from the Fulani nomadic tribe that we're working with. This is a real party. Next picture. Yeah, this is just some visitors again, the same people from with some of the cows. Okay, next picture again. This is where we are staying when we are, that's our all-star hotel. You see all the stars from here, you know. That's the normal way we stay overnight like this. And next picture, Carlos with his Puerto Rican flag. Yeah, we really have a lot of fun. Okay, I think that was... Okay, this is Duncan. Taken care of by some of our nomadic friends. He was just totally off. Filled with the power of God. I think it's only one picture left now. Yeah. Okay. Okay. There we are. Having fun. You know, it's so good to serve God. Hallelujah. Oh. I want to tell you another story of a man called Haruna. He was a big marabu, a big wizard, like a holy man among the Muslims, and he had strong magical powers. And one day he happened to pass by our church. And when he passed by the church, he said there was something like pulling him. He was maybe 50, 55, something like that. He had been about 50, I think. He had been professional wizard marabu for 35 years, deep into the occult. And he passed our church and he felt something that was just pulling him. And after passing by a couple of times, he came in into the building there. He gave his life to Christ. And then he started, amen. He was a well-known marabu. People came on like pilgrimage from many countries around to come to him to get blessed or to release blessing or curses over someone, you know, or have part in his magical powers. And he came to our school of ministry. And in one of the first days, we prayed for deliverance for him, of course, and it was amazing. We commanded the demons that filled him to leave him, and he was just flying over the ground for just like 1 foot over the ground for a couple of minutes until they all were gone. Well, you know, that's when the work started. And really, he was growing so quickly. But he had a problem because he the only profession he knew was magic. He didn't know anything else. But we allowed him to come and be like a helper in our headquarters there. He was running errands and he was helping with this and this, and he was growing quickly. It was such a joy, and he became really near to me and my family. You can show the next picture now. No, this is just, there's one more picture. Yeah, he became a good friend of, oh, that's okay. That's more of those guys ready for party. Another one. Yeah, here, the person on the left side there is this man, Haruna, the former wizard, and it's my two daughters. So he was like taking them on. Here they are riding a donkey, I think, yeah. And he was really becoming a real friend of the family, having a lot of fun with my daughters and with all of us. And then the people came. The people that before used to come to him for advice, that looked upon him as the big, powerful magician and marabu. And they say, hey, don't you see what these Christians have done to you? Now you have to play with the children and you have to do all this small work, and they don't respect you anymore, and they really started poison his mind, you know, over a long period. And he told us and we prayed for him, but they were continuing. And he started, actually, they started giving him a lot of money if he could just put out some lies about some people in the church. And the devil started using him. And he came to me one day and he was crying. He was saying, oh, I'm so sad for what I've been doing. I'm so sad. But this is what happened, and, you know, please forgive me. And you know, of course, we forgave him and we led him repentance. He was so happy again. He said, oh, I can't understand. I can't believe it after all what I did to you. You have been so good to me, so good, so long time. And I do this to you and still you forgive me. Oh, he was so happy. He was just full of joy. But the same temptations came again, you know. And he fell again. And he really made trouble to many of our people. And he came to us asking for forgiveness. And we tried, we forgave him, of course. We brought him in, but we had to also to try to help him not to fall again, you know. But this thing happened over and over again. And at the time, he decided he will take a second wife. And he fell over and over again into different things. And for a while, he even left the church. And he was like, the Muslims told him that they would make him the new king in their area if he could just go through some Islamic initiations, you know. And he did it. And he came again. He was crying. And one day he came to me and he said, the Lord spoke to me tonight, he said. He said that if I do not repent quickly and really change my life, I will die. And we prayed with him again. We received him back. You know, there is no limits to God's grace. There is no limits to his grace. But these falls of Haruna were really starting like destroying him. So many things happened to him over and over again. And I was back in Norway, and when I came back, Haruna had tuberculosis. And he came to me crying. He said, this is what the Lord told me. I would get sick and I will die if I don't live right with him. And, you know, I don't believe God sent that on him. But he exposed himself to some things. You know, I don't have the right... I don't know the theology or everything. I just knew Haruna came again and we prayed for him and he was instantly healed from tuberculosis. Hallelujah. Amen. And we said, you better move into the church to make sure that you don't have all of these people coming, destroying you. So we gave him a house and a room in the church. He moved into the church again like he did when he was a new believer. And next time I came, his tuberculosis was worse and he was vomiting blood. We prayed for him. He repented. This happened even two more times. And you know, I believe he understood that he was forgiven. And one day, he was in the hospital. I prayed for him. He was healed, you know. All the blood stopped immediately. And he started to, he was like all the time in the church, we thought. But then we understood he was still secretly like meeting some of these people that had really a powerful grip on him. And one day, he was back in hospital. I came there. He was crying again. And he said, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid that one day I will go so deep into that darkness that bound me before. I don't know what to do. I really need to live with Jesus. I really need the Father's love. I know that His grace is always there. And he repented and I said, okay, I will pray for you to healing again. And just when I put my hand upon him, I felt the Holy Spirit say, don't pray for healing. Just pray my will to be done. And I said, what? I understood what that meant. And I put my hand on him. I said, in the name of Jesus, I pray the will of God to happen to Haruna. And when he heard that, he had been hearing me praying boldly for healing over and over again. And he started to cry. He understood that, well, what it meant. And he started to cry. And he said, I didn't know if it was sorrow or joy. And I think it was a mixture. And he said, I'm so grateful that in all my misery, God is still receiving me. That I'm still loved by Him and I belong to Him. And I left from there and half an hour later he died. But you know, it was like, I mean, that was not God's plan for Haruna. At all. God's plan for Haruna was victory. Living in his presence. But he died in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, God is a God of love. He's a God of patience. He will continue to forgive and forgive and forgive. But he's calling us as a people to start walking in his standards. It's walking as sons and daughters. Oh, hallelujah. You know, John, the disciple John, Apostle John, it's amazing to read his books, you know. First John talking about the love of God. When I read it, it's always like a flow of the love of God, the grace of God over me. And the last, you know, he was one of those guys that he really celebrated. He knew he was loved by God. And he said, you know, he was like me. I think there's just like one in each generation. God's favorite, you know. And you know, I'm the favorite of God. Anyone else here? Hallelujah! We are all the favorites of God. And John, the Gospel of John was the books of John that was written the last. And John said, when he talks about himself, he said, the disciple that Jesus loved. That is so cool. I think that if Peter would have read his book, he said, no, John was wrong. That is me. No, I'm the one that Jesus loved. And actually, he loved all of us. Amen. He loves all of us. But John, he kept that joy, until the last book he wrote, and through his whole life, he kept that joy alive. That joy of being accepted, that joy of being loved, that continuing, turning to God all over and over and over and over again, and receiving his forgiveness, his grace, his love. And we need to be there. When I saw Haruna, that man who died, when I saw his life and I think about his life, I rejoice because he is with the Lord, I believe. I rejoice because actually the first years that he was with the Lord, he opened the doors to so many nomadic chiefs. Like the first pictures, me with the chiefs, it was Haruna that brought me there. And thousands of people have come to the Lord because of him. But he ended his life in misery. Oh, I believe that God is just calling all of us here to come into his presence. To come into, just do everything possible to make sure that his presence, his love, his glory is over our lives. I believe that fear of God, that is to fear that anything would separate me from God. And there is a fear of God coming over his people. Not us being afraid of him, but us being afraid of not walking near to him. It's such a privilege to walk with him, to have his pleasure, his love over my life. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I do stupid things. But God always receives me. There's always grace. There's always grace. But use his grace to allow his glory to fill you. On Friday, I was talking here about God giving people a second chance. And there are so many powerful ministries and men and women of God that has been raised up from this place. Huh? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's touching the whole world. But there are many more to come. Amen. And there are many that has experienced similar things like Haruna. But the time is for you. The time is for you. I had another man. His name was Usman. He was brought, he was born, a year after he was born, his parents died. He grew up in terrible misery. He went through so many things, trouble in our church over and over again. He was falling over and over and over again. And today, he's a pastor in a church. And you know, everyone, people are coming there because the love of God is there. And he and his wife, they have a marriage that is just so attractive for people to see how this man that was a troublemaker everywhere he came, how he's just a source of life, source of love. And he say he's, when he comes to me, he's saying he's so afraid that he will fall back in those things he was walking in before. So he just need to be in the love of God. I don't know really where this is taking us. But I know there is a source. There's a source in heaven. There's an open heaven. And you should not let anything on this earth. I think it was Andy here, he was talking about the worries of this world. Wasn't it? You know, there are so many people, they have been so absorbed with the worries of this world, their economy, what the neighbors or your relatives say about you, or all of these daily things. And some people are slowly being pulled away from that walk in the glory of God. And most people, they don't notice that. They don't notice day by day that there was a change. But when they look back 5 years, they say, wow. Something has happened here. And the Lord is just calling you today. He's calling you today. Come back into my love. Come back into my grace. John was saying, oh, John, in First John, he was saying, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. You know, the Israelites, we read in Exodus 20, Moses was coming with the Ten Commandments. And there was a demonstration of the power and the glory of God on the mountain. And the people said, you speak to us, but don't let God speak to us, or else we will be consumed. They were afraid. But you can speak to us, they said. And then said, the people stood on a distance, but Moses went straight into the cloud, into the earthquake, into the storm and all of those things. But the people, they were afraid. Moses didn't let anything stop him from entering into the cloud of glory. It looked frightening. It looked like it was the end of his life. But I'm sure he said, well, I need the glory of God. I need that glory more than anything. Even if it's the end of my life, I want that glory. And he just went straight into the cloud. Hallelujah. And then we read some few chapters later. Chapter 33. We read that God was saying to the people, I will lead you into the promised land. You know, they had been in Egypt 400 years. They had been talking and singing about the promised land. They went through all that terrible stuff in Egypt, you know, all those amazing miracles out in the desert. And they have been longing for the promised land. And in chapter 33, God is saying to them, I will now lead you into the promised land. The land that is full of milk and honey. And you would believe that they would rejoice. Let's look at Exodus 33. In verse 3 it says, unto the land, start with verse 1. Depart and go with the people that are brought up from the land of Egypt into the land that I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Unto thy seed I will give it. And I will send an angel before you. I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite. He's mentioning all the enemies of Israel. And verse 3, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, he was saying that I will drive out your enemies. I will give you what you have been dreaming about. And in verse 4 it says, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. When the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. Well, I didn't read a part of verse 3 there. You know, they have been so afraid of the presence of God. But here in verse 3, the Lord said, but I will not go in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee on the way. You know, but first they were afraid of God. They wanted to keep a distance. But after walking with him for a while, they say, no, we don't need milk and honey. We don't need that all our enemies are destroyed. We need your presence. We need your presence more than anything else. We don't want to go anywhere if we cannot go with your presence. Hallelujah. And you know, God is calling a people that is walking in his presence, a people that is carrying his glory, a people that can say, as Jesus said, the kingdom is near, because he was near. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is near, he said, because he was near. He brought the kingdom with him. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh. God, our heavenly Daddy, our heavenly Father, he's here. He loves you and he calls you. Oh, come, Father. Let's just be in his presence for a moment. I believe God is saying right now that he's just longing to play with us to dance with us. He's longing for His joy to fill everyone in this place, to be the strength of His people. But there are some people that, in the absence of the real joy, they have tried to produce their own. And on the outside, it looks like everything is like it always used to be. But God is calling you. God is calling us. He's saying, come, my child. Come with a whole heart. Let me love you. Let me enter. Let me touch the hidden parts of your life. Oh, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Haruna, he was a weak man in many ways. But his strength was that he always came over and over again with his weakness before the Lord, even before us, his friends. Thank you, Father. Oh, Reshe Kimbro Lodondosi Arenia. Let's stand up for a moment. Or if you feel like lying flat on your face, you can do that. But let's turn to heaven. Oh, thank you, Father, that you are not only in heaven, but you are right here. Thank you, Father, that you're here by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just come before you right now. We come before you right now, Father. Oh, we come before you as children. And say, Lord, you know me. You know everything about me. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel that there are people here. You know that there has been fear holding you back in some areas of your life. And you have allowed that fear to stop some of the things that the Lord has called you into. In the name of Jesus, I break that fear. I break that fear in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, Reshikindi Morania. There are men and women here today. You are called to be bold witnesses in your neighborhood, in the grocery store where you normally shop, your workplace, in your school. In the name of Jesus, we break that fear that you have been compromising with for years. In the name of Jesus. Breaking that fear for you here today is something you start here now. You say, I break it in the name of Jesus. But it's when you come there in the grocery store, in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, that's when you take the real step of breaking that fear. And you do those things that you never did or that you didn't do for many years. Oh, come Holy Spirit. You know, in the mission field, very often we hear that the great key is, I talked about this a little bit on the School of Ministry this week. The great key is to adapt fully to the culture and be exactly like everyone else. And there is a truth in that we should adapt to the culture. But if you really adapt, how can you bring the kingdom? We are not called to adapt to the people around us. We are called to help the people around us to adapt to the kingdom. Hallelujah! Amen! You know, I remember I was in a town in Mauritania. Ruled where the leaders of the town were the Muslim Brotherhood. And I felt for some time that the mayor of town was really called by God. And the Holy Spirit told me to do something really, really strange. And I said, Lord, I cannot do that. Well, I mean, I didn't understand it was God immediately. But he said, take the mayor of town out in the sand dunes and jump and play with him in the sand dunes. I took a walk with him out there, and it was far out in the desert. And I said, let's jump and play, I said to him. I said, what? I haven't done this since I was 5 years old. I've been taught how to behave properly. And he said, come and jump with me, I said. So we jumped into the sand dunes. We had sand everywhere. In our ears, in our nose, in our mouth, in our shoes, everywhere. And the next week, he gave his life to Christ. Hallelujah! It was so stupid. Hallelujah! And you know, sometimes God is just calling you to just do some other things than what you were always doing. He will set you free by you taking steps. Oh. Hallelujah. Oh, Father. Sometimes when we're talking about repenting, we are thinking about these terrible sins, then everyone is like, and we need to repent from those for sure. But sometimes our life has just taken us into a track that we cannot get out of. And God is calling you and saying, hey, I won't take you out of those daily routines. And I will use you even in the daily routines, in the grocery store, in all of these places. Oh, thank you, Father. I think Pastor Steve will have to help me here. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's good. Amen. Oh. That's a good question. Let's just stand before the Lord for a moment. Oh, Father. Yeah, if you want to take a step out and say, I want to break fear in my life. I want to break fear of man. I want to break the fear of new things in my life. I want to break the fear of coming out of the routines. Please come up here quickly and we will pray for you. We will break the fear. And you have a ministry team here, I guess.
Just push right in, folks, because there's probably going to be more than to be able to just fit on a line. So just come right up to the boundary. Like, forget about the green line, folks. Just move right up. Move right up. And those of you that are cell leaders, school ministry students, prayer ministry team, if you want to just come in and mingle and lay hands on people, come and do that. In His presence. Just let the Holy Spirit come. Come, Holy Spirit.
Sometimes I'm really bold, but sometimes my boldness is really that I'm afraid of not doing the will of God. You know, it's not that I'm naturally very bold, really. I'm not. Okay. Let's pray all of us right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of fear. We break the power of fear. Just repeat after me right now. I come before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I command fear. Fear of man. Fear of circumstances. Fear of the unknown. I command you to leave my life right now. Leave me. In the name of Jesus. Leave me. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of boldness. Spirit of boldness. Fill me right now. Fill me right now. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I will hear your voice. I will be obedient. I will demonstrate your kingdom. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Shikimareya. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, oh, Relabasa Kerinda Moyo Serindia. Ministry team, can you just start praying for people? Release the spirit of boldness. Release the spirit of boldness. We command fear to go. Oh, shiki borolondo sirindinia. Oh, come Holy Spirit right now. Oh, I release your presence right now, Father.
Friends, it may be easier if you've come to the front just for you to kneel down so the prayer team can move around a little bit easier.
So
prayer
team,
ministry team, just begin to move the folks. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Those of you ministering, just lay hands on folks. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come and do what He does best, which is bring hope, bring freedom, bring life. Come, Daddy.
Come, Holy Spirit. Check. Yeah.
Come, Holy Spirit. If you have children in the children's ministry and you're in the seats, you're very welcome just to get up and go and find your children and sign them out. Come, Holy Spirit. Just want to remind you as well, if you have neighbors with children especially, invite them to come tonight. Instead of maybe going trick-or-treating on the streets, bring them here. Tell them they're going to get some candies and all that kind of stuff as well. But they're also going to get the gospel here. They're probably not going to get that on the street. And have a wonderful evening. So doors open at 5:30. 6 o'clock is games and activities and things like that. And at 7 o'clock is Tommy Toombs, our guest speaker and children's entertainer, is going to be here tonight. So I want to encourage you to consider coming back tonight. Those of you at the front, I want you just to linger. Just let the Holy Spirit find you. Spirit of God, come. Come. And friends, I just want to remind you, those of you in the front, sometimes people feel very dramatic things happening. That's good. But a whole bunch of times, it may appear that, well, I don't think anything's happening. Don't believe that lie. Don't believe that. If there's one person that you see around you that's experiencing the presence of God when you come forward for something, it's because God is doing that in them and in you. Receive by faith what God's doing right now, that the prayers that we pray together, the Holy Spirit wants to do those things. He wants to minister to us. He wants to bless us. Spirit of God, come. Most of us don't need more anointing. What we need is more boldness. We need less fear and more boldness. So, Daddy, bring that our way, please. Bring that our way. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come. Church, can I just say one more thing before we have a flexible dismissal? Earlier this year, Terry, on one of the trips that he went with Duncan, they had to do an emergency trip back to Africa to these Fulani people that you saw in the very first picture, because there was a very severe famine and people were literally dying and were calling out and saying there's no food. And so Duncan and Terrier, and I think if you were here, you maybe remember when Duncan told the story that how they had to be transported, they had to be to make into the city to be able to buy the grain, and had to get there, like they had 4 hours to get there, but they were like 8 hours away, or I can't remember the numbers. And God made a way for them to buy grain. And the very day that these chiefs were thinking, there's no use, we're going to die today, is when Terrier and Duncan showed up with all this food. And I just was feeling that we should have a bucket available for if you'd like to give a gift to be able to help Terry minister to these people, to provide food for them. He has two schools of ministry in Niger to train workers, because that's the big need, is to train workers. So I'm not sure where Sam is. Sam, can we put a couple buckets at the front and maybe one right by the welcome desk? Would that be all right? Sorry, We'll put one buckets at the front, and we'll put them right where the CDs are at the back, right outside the bookstore. So if you'd like to give a gift, you can use a you can have a tax receipt for this. So grab one of the envelopes, put your name, and just write down Terje on there, T-E-R-J-E, and we'll make sure that money gets to him to be able to pass on. So if you'd like to do that, God bless you as well.